Now, we're joined on the line by our featured guest this week, an actor appropriate for Oscar Sunday. We're joined on the line by Steven Tyler Howe, actor who you would have seen in a great show called Gunslingers on the American Heroes Channel, a lot of other stuff. Steven, how are you this fine, fine evening?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Glad to be here with you guys, Tim and Philip.
Yeah, great. Nice. Glad to be on the air with you. Now, I just have to ask you, as an actor, I'm sure you've thought in your idle moments, whether you're on the in spin class, or you're on the 405 in your car, you thought about what it would be like to be at the Oscars and go up and claim your little trophy. You saw what happened tonight with the Best Picture. How would you have reacted to have that little trophy in your hand? And then Debbie asked, actually, you've got to give it to this fine group of individuals over here. Would you have been as big a man as the La La Land people were? They seemed to handle it pretty well.
I'd probably just say, okay, and then just walk right off.
And go and hide in your apartment for the next few months. It was interesting that, and the point I made in the first hour, we're all imperfect. We're all deeply flawed, some more than others. And it's interesting to see, you know, mistakes are made even on a stage like the Oscars. Now, I have to ask, as far as your brackets, when you were there picking the different winners, how'd you do compared to who won and who you thought would win? Did you do pretty good? Did you feel good?
You know, to be honest, I didn't even watch.
You didn't even watch?
I was watching a play at a theater company.
Oh, okay. That you're a man of scruples. You're a man of high ideas. Can I ask you, what play were you seeing? Was it a big production, or was it an independent theater?
It was an independent theater. It's a road theater company up in North Hollywood that I'm a member of.
Okay.
And it was a West Coast premiere of this show called Little Children Dream of God.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because we do have, and one thing this show, our show, The Bigger Picture, strives to do, is we're big fans of the theater, and we go out of our way, really, to showcase what a vibrant theatrical city it is here. We've got so much great theater that goes on. You're involved, actually, in a great bit of theater yourself, so let's just jump on to that. You're starring in a play called Disinherit the Wind. Disinherit the Wind.
Wow.
Can you explain, first of all, the relationship of the play to Inherit the Wind, and what drew you to be part of this little theatrical production?
Yeah, of course. So Inherit the Wind, for anybody that doesn't know, is it's a play about the Monkey Scopes trial in the 1920s in Mississippi,
where it
is illegal to teach anything in a science classroom besides creationism. And so you have this guy who decides he's going to read from an evolution textbook.
Right.
And people in Mississippi aren't too happy about that. He goes to trial, and it's all about how we should face an open form of ideas. You can't really know anything in this world. And so when Matt Chaite wrote Disinherit the Wind, he kind of turned that on its head and put it in modern times. And it's basically a professor at a major university, tenured professor, is let go after 25 years and for teaching a spiritual concept along with general neo-Darwinism, the materialist look at neo-Darwinism.
Right.
And so it's a trial piece, essentially, where he is suing the university, trying to be reinstated and paid damages for his time and his loss of reputation. And I play his expert witness, graduate student, basically testifying on behalf of his teaching abilities.
So this is intellectually thick soup. This is not just a bit of physical comedy or a rehash of Shakespeare. You're actually expecting your audience to be able to sit through, 90 minutes, 120 minutes of intense intellectual exercise. That's pretty high expectation.
Oh, yeah. I definitely had to do some reading when I got into this. Because I had to, you know, ever since maybe like 10th grade, I hadn't thought about axons and synapses.
Right.
So, I was following right along as we were reading through it the first time going, well, goodness, I gotta reteach myself some things, stuff that I hadn't thought about in years. And I think that's really great for people to see, because if you're not a scientist, if you don't work at JPL, you're probably not going to be dealing with these concepts on a daily basis. Kind of like you used to take math, and how often are you going to use calculus in your day-to-day life?
Right. After you graduate from high school or college and you don't have to use it anymore. Now, here's my question. The whole concept of where do we come from is actually incredibly philosophical. We can talk about whether we should derive that answer through theology. We can talk about whether to look at science and atoms and particles. But at the end of the day, regardless of which path we try to go down to look for the answer, it's a really personal question. Really, where we come from, what's our purpose here? The two are really linked. How does the play address the fact that in addition to trying to have a universal answer that works for everyone, we also want a really personal answer? You're going to want an answer that resonates with you. I'm going to want an answer that resonates with me. And maybe we use a bit of science, we use a bit of religion, but we're really just constructing our own personal answers. Is there room for that in the play, to understand that personal nature of trying to find the answer to that question?
Absolutely. And I think that's really kind of the crux of the piece, is saying, how can we really know anything? How can you can theorize all day long, and you can come up with a different vocabulary for it based on your own experience, but all in all, it's your own experience. It's, you know, wherever you grew up, wherever I grew up, and what we were taught by whoever was our caregiver or our teachers along the way. And so it's really about a sense of oneness. Like, you know, you call it different things,
sure,
but it's about there is some kind of connection amongst people, amongst living things, the same way as you walk out into nature and you sense that this tree is alive, yet I have no communication with this tree. So, you know, it's all about the essential idea that we don't have to have a specific answer.
Right.
We can talk about it. We can come up with these words for it, whether it's sitting in a church or whether it's sitting in a lecture hall. But they don't necessarily have to be a completely separate conversation.
And what you're saying really resonates with me personally, because I have to say, I was a bit a pox on both your houses when I remember coming through high school and college, because I felt that both the highly theologically driven camp and the highly scientific camp were both saying, this is it. Mm-hmm. This is the answer. And regardless of what you feel like this, you've just got to take this answer. And I appreciate the difference between a theological frame of thinking about things and a scientific frame. But at the end of the day, science is still about filling in gaps between data points. And the way data points get interpreted now is going to be different than 100 years ago and will be different in 100 years hence. But I felt both of them were both trying to shove a particular answer down. And what you're describing in this play, it's a little bit more refreshing. I don't know what it means to know where we came from, but it's good to just be able to have an answer that I – not that I just like, but an answer that I've derived some meaning for. So in doing this play, you said you had to read a lot. Was it something that is part of the rehearsals? Were you given a reading list? Was it like being back in high school where you had to go through and do your science homework before the rehearsal? How did you integrate this body of knowledge you were trying to come to grips with just the standard memorizing my lines, my blocking, you know, all of the day-to-day minutiae of being in a play? How did the two overlap?
Oh man, you know, it was one of those things. I got a long reading list from Matt, and it was a lot bent towards the play, and honestly had a lot of concepts that I was unfamiliar with. So I had to go to the library and pick up like a, you know, Evolution for Dummies. So I had the basic concepts as it was. And then overall, yeah, it becomes a process of outside homework and what kind of actor are you? How much do you invest in it? How much do you go off your own instinct?
Right.
Because then all in all, when it comes down to when you're on the stage or, you know, in front of the camera or whatever, you got to know what you're saying. You have to have an opinion behind it. You have to believe it yourself, whether it's your personal belief or not. And so integrating that, you have to come in with a certain framework of your own personal view and then bend it to however your character feels. So that by the time you get there, you are actually able to convince someone of your argument, whether you as an actor believe that argument to be true or not.
Now, we need to know the details. When, where, how, our listeners, how do they get to go and see Disinherit the Wind?
Yeah, of course. It's at the Complex in Hollywood right there in Theater Row at Wilcox and Santa Monica. And it plays, let's see, we open next Friday. That's the 3rd, March 3rd, and we go through April 9th. We have one preview next Wednesday, and it plays Friday, Saturday night, I believe at 8 p.m., and it plays Sunday for a matinee. And the best place to get tickets is plays411.com/disinherit.
Fantastic. I want to thank you so much. Actor Steven Tyler Howell had better things to do than watch tonight's Oscars. He was going out, as I think friends and neighbors, many of you should try to do in the weeks to come. He went out and he saw a play in one of our fine Southern California live theaters. I want to thank you so much, Steven, for being part of The Bigger Picture. Friends and neighbors, we're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to be back.